This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Frankie Valli for you. The Four Seasons. Boy, they've been around a long time. At least Frankie Valli has. I think he's still around. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're still around. I am Paul Molloy along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, July the 10th, and we have a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation, and we are going to talk to him about the alarming rise in teacher absenteeism. What is going on? And how is it affecting student progress? Very important topic, and stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And while Biden is going to be overseas in Europe, he is doling out more weaponry to Ukraine. He's been their best friend, has he not? Spending our money on weapons, including, by the way, cluster bombs. Cluster bombs. We're going to take a look at all of this in just a few minutes. And a record percentage of Americans are living all by themselves. They're living alone in the United States. Almost 30% of us. That's the highest ever. Why is that? We are going to talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, pretty good one, we think, the top 10 states with the highest percentage of senior citizens, the highest percentage, not necessarily the most. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better place. It is in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Andrew and staff give you the best haircut and a great price. Call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. And we are sponsored by ArborLife Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree pruning, or tree removal, ArborLife is Tampa's premier tree service company. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so maybe nobody else is doing anything at the southern border, but Texas is. Their governor, Greg Abbott, announced Friday that the Lone Star State is installing marine barrier installations. I saw a picture of them. They're these big orange things floating in the water. And it is part of the effort to stop illegal immigration across the border, a move that has brought criticism from left-wing organizations. Now, the barrier consists of orange buoys, or buoys, and they are intended to discourage migrants from crossing over the river, the Rio Grande. Apparently, they go down a little way, so you can't, like, swim under them. But Abbott has caused controversy with a number of things that he has done, and he has slowed down progress of illegals across the border, much to the chagrin of Democrats in particular. Previously he had set up razor wire, and he's really kind of building his own wall since the federal government has decided to shirk its responsibility. an attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union, said the move is the latest in a chain of gifts from the state to private contractors to fuel the governor's manufactured crisis, he says. Really? Is that manufactured? When millions are crossing over illegally, you call that manufactured? I don't think so. The barrier reportedly includes a layer of webbing beneath, so you can't swim underneath it. And it's expected to go about 1,000 feet in a stretch of the river near Eagle Pass. That must be the easiest part of the river to cross, apparently. You know, that's a dangerous river. There are a lot of people that have died trying to cross that river. You know, we don't blame people for wanting to come to the United States. I'll tell you the truth. If I had to wait 10 years to get sanctions to come, I might want to sneak across as well. It's too bad that we have a system that doesn't encourage a better progression of people and a quicker progression. At one point, we were able to take care of it. These days, not so much. In the meantime, what's going on with Ukraine? Boy, I tell you, the more I read about Biden and what he does for Ukraine, the more I think he's still getting payoffs from Ukraine. Now he's delivering cluster bombs there. In fact, the top Democrat is blasting, if we can use the term, his decision to send cluster bombs to Ukraine. He calls it a mistake. This is Betty McCollum, and she says, the legacy of cluster bombs is misery, death, and expensive cleanup. Cleanup generations after their use. She says the U.S. pays tens of millions of dollars annually to remove cluster munitions in Laos from the Vietnam War era. We're still doing that. So why are we doing cluster bombs? A lot of countries won't use cluster bombs. Well, the Biden administration announced that its latest aid package would include cluster munitions. And by the way, these things release smaller explosives across a wide area when they're detonated. More than 100 countries have banned them because of the fact that they end up killing a lot of civilians or maiming them. Sort of like stepping on a landmine, I guess, you know?
Did you see how he announced it, by the way?
No, I didn't.
On a live interview.
Is that where he gave away our secrets?
Yes, he said, we're running out of ammunition, so we're going to switch to cluster bombs and send them those. Isn't that great?
Yeah, he has a tendency to have loose lips, doesn't he?
I can't imagine the throwback if Trump had said something like that. My God. They'd be marching in the streets right now.
Yeah, they'd say he was giving away top secrets. No question about that. By the way, Biden is also saying that the Ukrainians will have to wait because to enter NATO, if at all. I think that's when he said this thing about the shortage of our munitions. But he says that Ukraine's war with Russia's got to come to an end before Ukraine can join NATO. Well, you know, another country that wants to join right now is Sweden.
You know, if we're going to send cluster bombs, then don't complain when Putin counteracts with something,
of course,
harsher.
Yeah. Now, you know,
when you amp it up, it's you know, what's the old saying, all fair in love and war?
Yeah, well, don't let Putin off the hook. He's been using cluster bombs, too. He's been known to use it. So, anyway, we're going to take our break, and we're going to change subjects. We're going to have Jonathan Butcher join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the alarming rise in teacher absenteeism.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday here on Freedom Works, and delighted to have back Jonathan Butcher, who is a senior research fellow in education policy at the Heritage Foundation, and along with a colleague of his, Jay Green, he has come up with a report on something that is really, I think, kind of worrisome, the alarming rise in teacher absenteeism. Jonathan, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
This is such an important topic, Jonathan. And you mentioned in this this report that a survey of schools across the country find that about 72% of public schools had higher teacher absenteeism rates than before COVID-19. So is COVID-19 the reason for this rise in this rate?
Well, it was certainly responsible for what we saw in comparison prior to the pandemic. I mean, we had school officials reporting that the rates of teacher absenteeism had gone up since the pandemic. But here's the thing. Teacher absenteeism rates have gone up even over the last year. So whatever started during COVID appears to be continuing. And that is what is so troubling right now.
Yeah, I mean, we worry already about the quality of education in this country. And let's be honest, if you go back a couple of generations and take a look at how proficient students were when they came out of high school, say in the 60s or the 70s, in terms of reading, writing, mathematics, and look at them today, it's kind of startling how overall, how we have not I think we've gone backwards, to be honest with you. And we are on the good side, in my opinion. We are now giving, more states are allowing parents to get vouchers so that they can select a school that they feel is best for their student, for their child. So I don't know. There's a little bit of both going on. But your thought on this absenteeism, does it span across both public and private schools?
The data we have is from public schools mainly. And I think you're exactly right here that, you know, first, teachers matter in the classroom, right? A quality teacher can improve a student's experience substantially, right, compared to a teacher who is not effective. And so if we have teachers who are not just absent, but even chronically absent, which, depending on the study, can mean missing 10% or more of the school days in a school year, that can have a serious negative impact on a student's, you know, educational attainment. And what we have now in the most recent reports from the nation's report card is that in both math and reading among 13-year-old kids, the student average student achievement is back to where it was in the early 1990s, which is not a good thing because in math, scores had, generally speaking, until about 5 or 10 years ago, been on the upswing. and reading had been sort of steadily increasing as well, although nothing to get too excited about. So for us to have gone back is, I mean, this is cause for alarm, really. I mean, I think families understand coming out of the pandemic that when they needed schools to be there for them during the pandemic, district schools were not. Traditional schools did not provide a quality learning experience. And now we are recognizing just how substantial these declines are.
Now, is there any single reason for why teachers are not showing up? I mean, I do not think it's because they've become less healthy. You know what I mean? They're looking for reasons not to show up at school. It gives me the impression they're not real excited about something that they are doing or not doing.
Well, and I think that this is what policymakers should be concerned about right now, is figuring out, you know, what exactly is happening, right? I think that there is evidence that schools are not as safe as they were before the pandemic. There's also evidence that students are more disruptive in class and that discipline has been harder. And so if we have a situation in which authority is deteriorating at public schools, excuse me, causing teachers, you know, to not want to attend work or feel fearful of attending, then policymakers should be finding ways to make sure teachers can maintain order in the classroom. You know, Washington has a history now of creating public policies that take authority away from teachers from keeping order in the classroom, making it harder for them to suspend or expel students when they even commit violent acts. And so I think we need to make sure that Washington isn't micromanaging the process of school safety and school discipline.
We're talking with Jonathan Butcher. He is a senior research fellow in education policy at the Heritage Foundation, keeping his eye on what's going on in our schools. He has come out with a report that he co-authored with a colleague, Jay Green, called The Alarming Rise in Teacher Absenteeism. So the unions in public schools have such a stranglehold on things. Are the unions... are teachers able to get away with taking more days off because they are protected by the unions?
Some of it has to do with union contracts. I mean, union contracts allow for quite a bit of, additional time off. And oftentimes, teachers don't lose their job, right, when they either, you know, commit a violation of their contract or... you know, sadly, would do something harmful towards a student. I mean, this is the famous rubber room story, right, in New York City or elsewhere, where teachers that violate their contract or do something harmful are, you know, they're forced to sit in a classroom instead of losing their job. These kinds of things are what make union contracts so harmful to students and to learning.
Right.
So, you know, that on top of unions really pushing radical gender and race instruction in public schools are all things that I think are part of the reasons that unions are so, frankly, harmful, if not destructive, to the assigned school system.
Yeah, and now what happens with the quality of learning? I mean, we have known for a long time, even when I was a kid, private schools, religious schools, the kids were better educated than in public schools. Not to the extent that it is today. I think it's even worse today. So we've got, you know, with the school vouchers, we have, I think in the long run, it's going to make teachers more accountable as well as schools. Because if you have a voucher and you don't think that your child is getting a good education, you can take your voucher and go somewhere else. And I would think that in private schools, it would also keep the teachers in the classrooms a little bit more. What say you?
Well, I think that, I think the results from private school students show that they are not experiencing the same learning loss as students at assigned schools. So, you know, we have evidence that the schools that stayed open, right, Catholic schools, independent private schools, they continued student learning even during the toughest times during COVID. So I think that's for one. And then I think, you know, as well that... it's not just that parents today have an option to send their child to a private school in many states. It's that every parent has this option. This is what's so significant. I think we're up to 8 states right now in the U.S. where any student in the state can apply for either an education savings account or a private school scholarship. Those are transformative policies. And when you can see that any parent, regardless of their income or level of need, has this option, that is really what will, I think, change the whole dynamic around how parents choose where and how their children learn.
All right. And also, I'm getting the impression that inner city schools have a higher rate of teacher absenteeism. I think in your report you mentioned that rates were slightly higher for teachers in schools that enrolled more minority students. So I would think that in those particular schools, things are a little tougher. The environment's a little tougher, a little more dangerous. It would make sense to me that this is where maybe the largest percentage of absenteeism is coming from.
Well, that's right. I mean, teachers in those schools that have higher rates of minority students and in lower income areas have higher rates of absenteeism. And I think, you know, this is all the more reason that students in those areas, right, should have more options. But I think, you know, really what's going on is that we've allowed persistently low-performing schools to remain open for too long, right? And they have failed generations of students. And the same policies that are applied to public charter schools, where they are shut down if they fail, should be applied to traditional public schools. Right? I mean, we should be shutting down these institutions that have failed students for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that I believe is the true meaning of the term equity that is tossed around so much by, social justice advocates.
Again, we're talking with Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation, where he is a senior research fellow in education policy. We're trying to figure out what to do with these situations in schools where there is a noticeably higher rate of absenteeism in the public school system. Is this one more reason, Jonathan, why maybe in the long run we're going to see fewer public schools and more private schools because of this kind of thing?
Well, I mean, for years, the public charter school system has been the fastest growing segment of the public school system. And I do think that in areas in which lawmakers have created these very expansive options for every family, I think that we will have private operators fill in to meet the needs. We saw this in Arizona, for example. Arizona's had pretty expansive private school choice options for a long, long time. And, now public schools buy billboards, right, to attract families. They know that they have to attract the same families that are going to be looking at the private school across the street because the families have better access to those schools with either education savings accounts or tax credit scholarships or something else.
So in the long run, do you think we're going to solve this absenteeism situation? Is this temporary? Is it the further we get away from the COVID-19 problem, the return of teachers to the classroom will be enhanced?
Well, I mean, I think that the biggest thing that we've got to do is make the teaching profession something where teachers feel empowered to control their classroom. I think teachers need to feel like they have even more control over their curriculum. I think that there's too much micromanaging coming from, you know, first state requirements about taking state tests, but then on top of that, federal officials through the U.S. Department of Education that have any number of regulations about what and how teachers can actually use in the classroom. So I think that the micromanagement from Washington really needs to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that in public schools, is there more involvement these days with parents? I know it's more involvement with parents in the private school. Just by their very nature, putting their children in a private school indicates that they have an interest in making sure their kids get a good education. But in the public schools, have the PTAs and whatever with the school board, has there been a higher rate of interchange, or has it kind of remained static?
Well, I think that, if we keep a broad perspective on the education landscape today, I think that the teachers have found ways when they leave the traditional public school system to start even new options of their own, right? Learning pods, which were popular during COVID-19, micro schools have been popular among parents, especially in recent years, and those are private schools that teachers can help to run and operate and where they can work. and even, you know, create the kind of flexible options on their own. So I really think that there's a, especially because of the growth in the creation of education savings accounts and other private options, I think parents, teachers have a lot more ways today to create, you know, new kind of versatile opportunities of their own. And I think that's what parents are looking for now, right? They want something that can meet a child's unique needs, because the assigned system in its, you know, kind of one-size-fits-all approach is, you know, it simply goes to the average, right? It provides something for what some would say the lowest common denominator. And I think what parents want instead is something that's going to challenge their students.
I think you're right about that. And maybe the good news is that parents overall are getting more of a chance to make decisions as to where their kids can go to school. Jonathan, thank you so very much. Keep up the good fight.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to take our break. When we come back, a record percentage of Americans are living all by themselves these days, almost 30%. Wow. Why is that? We are going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Ed, you're going to get a kick out of this, I think. Did you know that President Biden has a very short temper and he frequently lashes out at people on his staff, and that they're now going into his office in groups, because if they go in groups, he doesn't tend to lash out quite as badly.
Do they say how long it takes for him to lash out? Because I heard they go in there, they tick him off, and like 3 days later he realizes what they said.
I think he sometimes he starts it himself, and they haven't said a word. Listen to this. One official in the administration said that, quote, nobody is safe from Biden's wrath. Some of the president's go-to attacks include things like this. How the F don't you know this? And don't effing bull-S me.
And get those damn kids off my lawn.
Get them off my lawn. Aides have framed his outburst as a desire for accuracy and competence. This is called spinning, why he's got this out of control. You know, if anybody asks him a question that's just a little bit, you know, have you noticed that he lashes out right away at them?
Well,
that's a stupid question. Correct. Haven't you been listening to me? Why did you ask that question? You're an idiot. And as a matter of fact, he was caught on mic one time when he was asked a question by Fox News' Peter Ducey. He didn't mean to get it on mic, of course, but he called him a stupid son of a bee.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you, my God, they used to, there was such backlash at Trump when he would call CNN fake news or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, you don't hear him swearing that much. It's funny.
He did once in a while.
But I mean, what I mean is that he will. Yeah, he has. There's no question. But apparently Biden does it even more. You just don't hear it because you don't hear him talking very much these days.
Well, all he's got going on, I don't think I'd want that job. Then you got Kamala looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, I guess that would make me want to swear right there.
I'd swear at her.
Yeah. You know. Speaking of swearing, we have two guys that never swear. They're brothers. The brothers Sorace, they're like altar boys. There's Angelo up in Rochester, New York. We got Andrew here in Dunedin, Florida. All's right with the world. How are you two guys doing? And don't swear at me, by the way.
I won't.
So, I don't know. You know, Biden, you can tell he's got... One time he was going to take on somebody. They asked him a question. It was just a plain old guy in the it wasn't a reporter, and he was going to he wanted to take him on in a fist fight. I remember, or no, he was going to do push-ups with him or something like that. He just kind of loses it. What do you guys have to say about that? Do you think?
Well, I hope that he doesn't do push-ups against Kennedy Jr. There.
Yeah, that's right.
Lose.
No, you're right about that.
I can't see him doing push-ups. They're worried about him walking from point A to point B.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Say, hey, Angelo, what's going on with you, buddy?
No, not a whole heck of a lot. Just enjoying the summer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Had a great 4th of July, you know? Beautiful weather.
Did you have a very good 4th of July?
Yes, we did.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Did you get any funny calls on the 4th of July?
Yeah, just one or two.
That was all Ed's doing, Angelo.
Oh, yeah.
It was all Ed.
Should we let the listeners in on it? We decided to play a little bit of a prank on Angelo and said, we told him that we were doing a remote broadcast on the 4th of July. Ed calls him and says, we're going to have you on, you know, and Angelo, the good guy that he is, said, great, okay, I'll be glad to come on. So we get him on, and he thinks he's out in the air, and all of a sudden, we start saying things that we don't normally say on broadcast. Just to get a rise out of Angelo.
We got a rise, all right? He didn't talk to me for a week.
And I can tell you that we agreed to do it at 6 o'clock, and every 5 minutes... Andrew was like, are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? Come on, let's get
this. Yeah, Andrew was really excited.
Are we going to do this? He was really excited about it.
Well, he really was, Angelo.
It's 6:45. We better do it now.
We got the impression he was trying to get back at you for something.
Yeah, for everything they did to me as a kid.
So what do you guys think about what's going on these days? We got cocaine in the White House. By the way, if we never hear... who did it? Then I say it's Hunter. If we do find out who did it, it's somebody else.
It's Hunter. There's no question. It's Hunter, and they probably give it to the old man to keep him awake during his, you know,
when he makes
the
pressure. About that, yes. He's been saying... go ahead.
When he does a hop, skip, and a jump, you know what he's doing.
Have you heard Biden over the weekend start giving away our secrets on weaponry?
Yeah, I heard about that one.
What's going on with him? Doesn't he? He's got sort of a loose mouth. Now, I don't know if he's even up to date on our weaponry.
Well, you're asking the wrong question.
What's going on,
you're asking the wrong question. You're asking what's wrong with him. It's what's wrong with the people around him that don't get rid of him.
Yes.
That's what's wrong with the people that are keeping him in. They're the ones destroying the country.
And half the public, half the population wants him back in. Go figure.
I know. It's really unbelievable. Do you think there's any real challenge on the Democratic side to Biden? Because here's the deal. The guy is so feeble right now. I'd be surprised if he's not really, even by the time we get around to the November 2024, if he won't be noticeably worse than he is now.
Well,
yeah, but
you
they
know,
don't
Paul.
Care. They want him back in. Half the population wants the Democrats back in. They want to back the courts. They want to do everything they possibly can. Toss out the Constitution, you know. And he's done
right now. Right now, Robert Kennedy Jr. is 20%. Now, tonight, he's going to be on Jesse Waters.
On Fox News.
On Fox News. So I've got to watch this Robert Kennedy because I'm telling you, he is going to sneak up behind Joe Biden. Now, I know he's a liberal, don't get me wrong, but he's saying all the right things.
You kind of like him, Andrew, don't you?
It's not that I like him. It's just that I know that he's going to outdo Biden.
So do you think there's a real good chance he's got a shot at being the nominee?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
Nah, no way.
No, Angelo, you don't believe
it?
No. You think it's
these people? The Democratic Party wants Joe Biden.
Yeah,
and no doubt about it. I mean, and like I said, half the country, half the electorate wants him back in.
But here's the thing I'm wondering about. If you want him back in, that's fine. But you know he's not going to make it. If he makes it to the election, I'll be surprised. If he were reelected and in, he's not making it another 4 years. You can't. They're not pulling the plug now because they're afraid of Kamala Harris. You think she's going to be any better?
They don't want Kamala in their
pot. You know what? If he's going to run again, they better pick another running mate.
But they're not going to.
Well,
they're not going to because it would look like they are dissing a racial minority, a woman, a black woman, and they knock her off the ticket.
They've already crossed that bridge.
And there would be a negative reaction. They fear there would be one.
I mean, how much more can you say that than when she called Joe Biden a racist anyway?
I understand that, but he's
out of the bag.
He's already said he's going to keep her on as the running mate. So that's not an issue. Go ahead,
Now, you're sitting there saying the Democrats are trying to keep him in there. I mean, the Republicans are trying to keep Trump out. But I can tell you this one. Trump is going all the way this time. Mm-hmm. There is no stopping this man. But they're all trying to. Look at McCarthy. What another backstabber he is. He will not endorse Donald Trump.
Kevin McCarthy?
That's right. What a piece of work he is. He's another con artist, Republican rhino that needs to go. They need to get rid of him.
Well, don't you think he's in a vulnerable position as the Speaker of the House? He's got to be very careful politically about saying, oh, yes, I'm backing Trump. When he's the Speaker of the House and he's got, you know, all these others that are running, you know, including Ron DeSantis.
All these other Republicans,
he can't.
They aren't going nowhere. Trump is at like 54% of the population, the Republicans, okay?
Well, we got a long time to go. What happens if they find Trump guilty of one of these many charges?
You know what's going to happen? He's going to be president in jail, buddy.
Yeah.
He's going to be another first for everything that he does. Okay, he was the first one to get impeached 2 times. He's the first president to ever get indicted, and he would be the first president to rule from jail.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm telling you, the way this election is going, we could wind up either having a president that's in jail or a president that's in a convalescent nursing home.
That's right.
Running the country.
Goes to show you, this country is in deep trouble. China, he's got to be saying, hey, keep up the good work, fellas. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel now.
I wonder what the Las Vegas odds are that if Biden wins re-election, that he doesn't survive those 4 years.
We need to find that one out.
I bet it's better than 50%.
No, probably won't. But no. they don't care. See, the Democrats really don't care. Look at these idiots that they're on the talk shows talking about how the Supreme Court is ruling against the Constitution during this debt thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they're saying it's a fake court, this and that. I mean, the Democrats really don't care about this country.
No, they don't.
I think the Supreme Court's the only thing that's keeping the Constitution alive right now.
If the American people, I don't get it where half the population, half the electorate can't see what's going on, or they could just care less. They could care less. All they're doing is buying votes. You know, they keep these people and say, well, look what he's doing now. Here's a president that he lost in the Supreme Court, right, because it's unconstitutional. What he wants to do, he keeps feeding these people that I'm going to take care of your debt relief. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The media keeps going along. The guy's the president of the United States going against the Constitution, right? Isn't he supposed to protect and defend the Constitution? What he's doing right now is an impeachable offense.
Oh, there's no question in my mind. He should be impeached. Speaking of all of that, the House is going to be holding some more hearings now on this whole fiasco with Hunter Biden. What they, they're going to bring some whistleblowers, I think, to talk. They're also bringing Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, in front of a microphone. They want to talk to him about what is going on as well. So do you think we're getting closer, guys, to maybe having some sort of action taken against Joe Biden?
They won't do anything. Just like, you know, what happened to the whistleblowers with President Trump, right? Nobody even saw these whistleblowers. But yet they made a big deal about these whistleblowers, right? They said it was impeachable, this and that. They will not impeach Biden. The Republicans won't do it because they're afraid. They're afraid of what, you know, that they'll get backlash.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is going to happen with Hunter Biden or anything. Like I said, Paul, and like other people have said, there is a double standard of laws in this country. Nothing is going to happen to the Bidens.
Paul,
and he's going to be the nominee. The media doesn't care. The media,
you're right about
the
that.
One that is destroying this country.
Go ahead,
they're
Andrew.
Not bringing the truth,
Paul,
on anything.
You know how you're saying that the Supreme Court is keeping the Constitution together?
They're the only.
They're part of it. There's 80 million mega people that will keep the Constitution alive.
Yes, what I'm saying in Washington right now.
No, I agree. But remember, there's 80 million people, Paul. They're going to keep it alive. And like
how,
I say,
is
Trump
it,
is it. Go ahead.
How is it that person that blew the lid on the abortion issue last year, right? Like I said before, they found this 20-something-year-old airman leaking secrets within a matter of hours. Here they can't find a person that leaked out in the Supreme Court. How many employees work in the Supreme Court?
That was Sotomayor or the other one that did that.
I think the Supreme Court themselves know. And I think
I think
John Roberts is keeping it a hush-hush.
It should be exposed.
Should be exposed. The person who did it should be exposed.
I agree with you.
And arrested for treason.
Listen, there's a lot of things that get swept under the rug on both sides.
Oh, there's no question about that.
All you have to do, and I keep telling people about hypocrites, that, you know, this whole thing with the abortion issue and the Democrats are crying that the Republicans don't have the right to tell women what's in their body, what's not. Those are the same people that made you take that shot. Or that you would be fired if you didn't take. If you worked for government, or you worked for police department, or if you worked for our military and you didn't take their shot, they don't care about your religion or what that was, or health issues or whatever. If you did not take that shot, you would be fired. Now those same people that say no one can tell you what's in there, you can not put in your body. The same people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happened to all those people that got fired from their jobs?
They're fired.
That was
They got fired.
Did they ever? You talk about government jobs?
Yeah, and they weren't rehired. You're talking about policemen too.
Everybody,
Certain. I think like the New York Police Department, they had to fire people. Look at the military. How many were?
You know, that's how you end up with a woke military. They got rid of all the normal people.
The military. Instead of teaching them how to save the country and protect the country, they're teaching them the 1619 Project. They're teaching them woke stuff.
They got drag queens doing drag queen shows on Air Force bases. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's as I've said many times, I'm sure you all agree, it's never been this crazy in our lifetimes. Never. This is the worst it's ever really been.
And this has only happened the most since Biden has been president, and the Democrats have control of the Senate, and they had the control of the Congress up until last year.
I think this is what happens when socialism seeps into our culture at the rate that it has done. This is the result. This is really the result. Guys, we could talk forever. I thank you so much, both of you, for coming on and talking about this. And
just remember one thing, Paul.
Yep.
Donald Trump.
All right. All right.
And by the way, as we go out to the break here, Paul.
Yep.
The official song of the White House.
Down on the ground, cocaine. Oh, that's a good song.
All right.
Cocaine.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, thank you for being with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Freedom Works. And if you're not able to listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast, which means if you go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows up there for you. You can listen at your leisure. Most recent show is at the top. Ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, this is kind of a sobering statistic. Nearly 30% of American households comprise a single person. That is a record high in America. Scholars say living alone is not a trend as much as it is a transformation. Across much of the world, large numbers of people are living alone for the first time in recorded history. Here is a New York University sociologist. His name is Eric Klinenberg. He says it is just a stunning social change. He says, I came to see it as the biggest demographic change in the last century that we fail to recognize and take seriously. Now, Homo sapiens is a social animal. Historians tapped ancient census rolls to show that our species has lived in groups for as long as recorded history has existed. The U.S. Census shows that solitaries made up about 8% in 1940. 8%. The share of solos went to 18% in 1970 and more than tripled to an estimated 29% in 2022. So that's a very interesting situation. A lot of us live alone. And as you get older, and I think one of the reasons is probably because people are living longer. They are living longer and therefore, and you know, are in better shape.
Well, divorce rates are up.
Divorce rates are also up,
that can put you alone.
That's
death,
true.
The death of a spouse, you know.
The death
whatever.
Of a friend, a girlfriend, a spouse, exactly, will do the same thing. So there are a lot of reasons. I think people, you know, back when we didn't have televisions and now we got computers, being alone was even more being alone, if you know what I mean. Now you can turn on the television, you can go to your computer, and you've got that environment of, let's say, tuning in to life, right? Where before then, I think you were more, you know, being alone would mean really feeling isolated. You
nowadays,
know?
You can keep in touch with your family that might not be living close to you with Zoom or Skype, and you know, right there,
no question about
it. Just pop on, like making a phone call.
Yeah,
so makes it a little easier.
But you know, it's a very interesting statistic: 30%. All right, Time for our top 10, Ed. And I think this one's rather interesting. This is, speaking of the older population, this is the top 10 states with the highest percentage, I say percentage, of senior citizens. Mm. Now, obviously, the state that has the most senior citizens is California, because it's got more people than anybody else. There's no state that's close to it. So the states with the most populations, California, Florida, Texas, those are the ones that have the most. But these are the highest, the states with the highest percentage. Mm. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10, South Carolina. They've got 18.7% of their population over the age of 65, and that's about 976,000 people in that state. Number 9, Pennsylvania. 19.1% of Pennsylvanians are senior citizens, which comes to about 2.4 million people. Number 8, New Hampshire. I guess you live a long time in New Hampshire. 19.3%, 263,000 people. Number 7, Hawaii is number 7. 19.6% of the population out there are older folk, and that comes to about 275,000 people. Number 6, this one kind of surprised me, Montana. Montana's got 19.7% of their population over the age of 65. Only 213,000, but then not a lot of people.
It's a very low-key life out there, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Montana.
Speaking about being alone, I always think of Montanans as being somewhat isolated. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Number 5, Delaware. Delaware, 20% of Delawareans, or whatever they're called. And that comes to about 198,000 people. Number 4, Vermont. I've always thought of Vermonter people, New Englanders tend to be somewhat, hey, leave me alone. But 20.5% of Vermont people, 129,000 people. Number 3, West Virginia. Yeah. West Virginia's got 21.9% of its population over the age of 65, 374,000 people. Number 2, right here, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. 21.3% of every of our population here is 65 or older.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how many people that is? About 4.6 million.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, Ed.
I'm going to go
I'll give you a hint, Ed. This is a tough one. I'm going to tell you now.
Really?
I'm going to tell you that you wouldn't have come up with it. So I'm pretty sure. Well, so I'm going to give you a huge hint, okay, Ed? It's in New England. Now we already mentioned
Maine. You already said Maine. You said Vermont, right?
No, you're saying Maine. You think it's Maine? Yeah. Roll the drum.
I did.
Okay, bingo. You're right.
Oh, okay.
It is Maine.
So much left up there.
Sorry about that. 21.8% of the people in Maine. Must be that rocky shore weather.
Well, there's not a whole lot of people there, so if, you know, you have more seniors than you do.
Well, it comes to 294,000 people. There you go. All right. Thanks for listening. We will be back Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
And a happy Monday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Looks like another hot one today. A high of 89, a 50% chance of rain. Depends on what side of the street you're standing on. Overnight low tonight, 81, and tomorrow's high at 86. Also, 50% chance of rain. Sunset this evening is at 8:31.